This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
It's time to power rank with producer Evan.
Let's go.
Oh, look at you. Fired up. Shot out of a cannon. You feel good about yourself. You feel good about these rankings?
Yeah. I mean, towards the end, there were some teams that were getting a little shaky. So I think number 10 is probably the only one that I'm like, this could have gone a couple different ways. But every other one, I'm pretty sure.
Yes or no. The team that tried to bribe you with gear is in the top 10.
No, I couldn't. I mean, they made a pretty good attempt, but man, I mean, on the field, it's not great. So
it shows you how powerful, how much power you wield in the world of baseball. The Boston Red Sox are sending you sweatshirts and hats and other paraphernalia. please, Evan, put us in the top 10. Yeah, no, that was a non-starter. That's not happening.
Yeah.
They're not very good. All right, well, let's get to it. Number 10.
Yeah, so number 10, I have the Padres. They were off to such a hot start this season, but they've really been scuffling lately. 3-7 the last 10. Fernando Tatis, who was in the MVP picture, has gone kind of ice cold in May. He's hitting 184. I think he had a home run yesterday, so maybe he's starting to turn it back on, but he's been pretty ice cold so far. Gavin Sheets, talk about a guy. Speaking of the White Sox and stuff, Gavin Sheets has been raking. 288, 7 homers and 19 RBIs in May, and he's had even better year, throughout the year, but May's gotten really hot. Machado's raking in May, 375, 4 home runs, 11 RBIs. Jackson Merrill's back and better than ever. 310. They've all kind of carried that offense. Bogarts and Tatis and some of the other guys have kind of struggled in May. Arraez has been okay. And then the rotation has all been pretty solid. They all have a sub-4 ERA except for Nick Pivetta, which is kind of funny considering going into the month of May, I'm pretty sure he was probably their best starter, and he was one of the guys that I'm pretty sure most people would say was one of the steals of the offseason, signing so late and delivering really early. But they've kind of been scuffling lately, so fortunately their division, nobody's really run away with it yet, and they're still right around 4 teams in contention. I know the Diamondbacks have scuffled a little bit lately, but the Dodgers, with all their injuries, it'll be interesting to see how they hold up. And then the Giants are also in the picture, so I put the Padres in here at number 10.
All right, good enough. I have nothing to add. Number 9.
Number 9, we got the Mariners, 6-4 in the last 10. Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh have carried them in May. Julio's batting 276, 6 home runs, 17 RBIs. Cal Raleigh has definitely got to be the best catcher in baseball, 288, 9 home runs, 19 RBIs. Brian Wu has been the best of their rotation. The rotation's gotten a little tricky because, Kirby's kind of been in and out, and Gilbert, I believe, is hurt, and so they have like some other guys. So it seems like Wu and Castillo are the only guys that have been consistently healthy in that rotation so far, and he has a 2.4 ERA on the season and a 1.71 ERA in May. And then their closer has been locked down, Andrés Munoz. He's still perfect through 23 appearances. Every time they have a lead, and when he's obviously available to come in the game, he's been locking it down. So the Mariners are in at number 9. The one thing I did notice, which I didn't really jot down, but it is kind of crazy, the splits from home and road when you look at the offense. Because at home, it's everybody's right around 230. Nobody's really going crazy at home. And then on the road, they're all raking. So it's kind of a wild situation there. And I know that that's been mentioned in the past. Like, I remember Teoscar Hernandez even saying last year that it's just hard to hit in that ballpark, but it is kind of wild to look at.
Well, I don't know what to make of the Mariners.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, I really don't know those two teams that you just mentioned, the Padres and Mariners.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of them.
Yeah.
But you know, I can't argue with it. I think that I would not be surprised to see either one of those teams a month from now be either I wouldn't be surprised either one of them to see it be in the top five. I'll just say it. Yeah. I'll just say it. All right. Number eight.
Number eight, I got the Cardinals. This is kind of more of a shocker one because obviously the past couple of years they've been scuffling like crazy. But 6-4 in the last 10. They have five hitters hitting north of 270 in May. Brandon Donovan, Wilson Contreras, Victor Scott, who's been really a standout guy this year. Alex Burleson, and I think it's Ivan Herrera, their catcher, who was really good. And then he got injured and they had a very weird backup catcher carousel that wasn't really working out. But now that he's back, he's going crazy. And then Matt Liberatore has been beginning to live up to the hype. He has a 2.73 ERA on the year, and he's been absolutely dealing. And for a while now, I think it was him for a Rosarena, I think, or something like that, where they got him from the Rays early on in his career. And he hadn't really been doing much of anything, but now he's really starting to deal. So
By the way, I don't think that the Cardinals are better than the Padres.
Yeah. I mean, in the long run.
Don't agree with me. You literally just said you think they're better than the Padres.
Well, I think they're better than the Padres. Yeah. I think right now they're better than the Padres. If you were to put them both in the same field, like at the moment with Tatis struggling, with Bogart struggling. However, in the long run, I could very easily see the Cardinals falling off and the Padres coming up just based on recent years. And now they both have kind of similar rosters to what they've had. So it's like the Padres, even though they sometimes have tough stretches, seem to bounce back, whereas the Cardinals, they always seem to have like a weird hot month and they just go to crap again. So,
all right.
Kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's like a 7-game losing streak on the Cardinals' horizon. Maybe I'm wrong. By the way, Eric Fetty, I'm so happy. Like, he's, you know, the fact is, like, when we interviewed him, it was not good. It was like he was struggling at that
time.
He's not struggling anymore, is he? He's not.
No. He had a 3 ERA in May, and actually, Miles Michaelis has like a 2.02 ERA in May. So their starters have been starting to step up, which definitely obviously has helped. So
good for him. All right, number seven.
All right, so number seven, I have the Giants, 5-5 in the last 10. Elliot Ramos and Wilmer Flores are the guys that have been carrying them in May so far. Elliot Ramos, 333, 5 home runs and 16 RBIs. Wilmer Flores, 300 batting average, 3 home runs, 16 RBIs. Their entire rotation has had a sub-4 ERA this month, which is pretty insane, especially with Hayden Birdsong replacing Jordan Hicks, and he's been dealing. And then the bullpen continues to be the best in Major League Baseball. Combined, they have a 2.53 ERA, and they've all been doing well. Camilo Duvall is the guy who's their closer.
You can do it.
Yeah, I think it's Camilo Duvall. I might be botching his first name, but he's been really good. Randy Rodriguez has been really dealing. So they have a lot of guys that I don't think I really would have known of if I didn't look up their stats.
A lot of guys who you don't know how to pronounce their name, but you're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's weird though. If the Giants, you know, I'll say it again. Like if you said to me, you're going to play a series right now, a playoff series, who are you going to take of these teams? The Padres, Mariners, Cardinals, Giants. I still take the Padres, the number 10 team.
That's fair. Yeah. Cause it's like it's kind of a weird thing where it's like, they're doing really well right now, but those three teams in between the Padres and number six are all kind of like shaky, but I don't know. I mean, they got some good managers there. You got Bob Melvin, you got Ollie Marmol, who's kind of stunk outside of his first year so far. So maybe not there, but I mean, you got some guys that can get it going, but we'll be able to keep it going.
You literally just said, these four teams.
I was thinking here. Bob Melvin was going to be a good,
I don't really believe what I just said. I'm just going through it.
Like, I saw Bob Melvin. Wilson, I was like, that could be a good one.
Dan Wilson has done a heck of a job in his 2 months of a major league manager. You know,
Mike Schmidt, maybe he'll get revenge on the Cardinals.
Well, Mike Schmidt's managing now?
Mike Schilt. Damn it. I'm really botching names today. But Mike Schilt can get revenge on the Cardinals in the playoffs here if they were to play against
him. He is a good manager. Yeah. Him and Mike Schmidt are both great managers. All right, number six.
So number six is the Dodgers. I had to put them below the Mets strictly because, one, they have really, their pitching is rough outside of Yamamoto. 5-5 in the last 10. They are the best team with runners in scoring position in baseball, batting .264. Ben Kasparius against the Mets was absolutely dealing. That guy, I feel, like is a hidden gem because, you know, everybody's looking at all the big names coming into the year, but he's been dealing. Has a 2.80 ERA, and Jack Dreyer, the lefty that they brought up, has a 3.03 ERA. He's also been dealing. So they got two guys coming out of the pen that have been able to save the rotation a little bit. And then hitting-wise, Shohei Ohtani's batting over 300, Will Smith's batting over 300, and Hyesung Kim, the guy that they signed out of Korea who started in AAA, has been hitting over 300 in May as well. So they got some guys that can get going. As much as I love the guy, I don't really understand why Michael Conforto has been playing every day for them, though, because he is talking about a guy who's fallen off a cliff ever since, you know, like the first part of his career. He's had a rough go of it in the middle of that lineup. So
why did you put okay, we'll get to this in a second. Do you agree with, and I don't want you to agree. You can't agree if you want. Of Julian McWilliams, the assertion made by myself and Julian McWilliams about how Mookie Betts is the most important player. And then, you know, you look up his numbers and you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. But I feel like in that team, in the most important team, even though you have him at number six, he's the glue. He's the glue. I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's the only guy out of the big three that they have that has been willing to really play wherever. Because, obviously, Shohei, he'd never really played the field, and obviously they're hoping to get him pitching, but he's stuck in that DH spot forever. Freddie Freeman, you're never going to move him off of first, because I remember when the Braves tried that a while ago and put him at third, and he just, like, looked like a bizarre human being over there. But Mookie Betts, yeah, I mean, he continues to come through for the most part on offense. And then he pretty much can play anywhere and be at least semi-competent and not look like a complete, you know, what are we doing over there?
So. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a good conversation. Everybody go debate. Number five.
Yeah, so number five, I have the Mets. 5-5 in the last 10. They've allowed the fewest runs against. It's pretty crazy. Their pitching is right. Their pitching has been dealing. They have the fewest runs against in all of baseball, 173. They did take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, which is kind of why I put them one above the Dodgers.
Recency bias.
They locked down the Dodgers in that series, especially Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, 7-for-36 in that series against the Mets, a 194 batting average. And then the bullpen is it's kind of bizarre because they really only have three really, really good guys that you want to go to. It's Brazoban, it's Reed Garrett, and it's Edwin Diaz. When you got a close game, those are pretty much the guys you're going to. And then outside of them, we just got a bunch of guys that have probably cost us.
You know who they could have used? Phil Maton.
Yeah. You know, you got Phil Maton. The weirdest thing was in the first game of the Dodgers series, which I think an argument can be made that they could have swept that series, but it seemed like nobody could hit. It was like the 13th inning. Runners were in scoring position, of course, every inning with the runner starting at second base, and it seemed like nobody can come through. And then eventually they got to Brazoban, who felt like he was pitching on his like ninth straight day, and he didn't come through. So
I hate to see how high you would rate the Mets if they give you free gear, if you had something more than a Reed Garrett signed poster behind them. Well, we'll work on that.
There you go.
All right, number four.
All right, so number four, I have the Cubs, 8-2 in the last 10. They've scored the most runs in baseball, 324. 6 of their 9 everyday players have a 295 or higher batting average with runners in scoring position. And then their bullpen, I was just looking at their bullpen because obviously you could talk about PCA, you could talk about Tucker, you could talk about Swanson, you could talk about any of these guys. But I was looking at their bullpen, and their new closer, Danny Palencia, has stepped up and has been dealing. He has a 193 ERA since taking over as a closer. And then our guy who's been on the podcast before, Drew Pomeranz, has a 0 ERA and 14 appearances.
We got to get him back on.
Yeah, so he's
get
been
him back on.
He's been a key piece for them so far. So
I was, I yeah. thought you, I repurposed the conversation I had with PCA, Pete Crow yep. Armstrong. Like, I forgot what a good, you know, it was only for about 8 minutes, but I forgot what a good interview he was. Like, how I came away, like, oh man, like, he is just honest. Like, yeah. he's just, and he was at that time, he was just trying to make the team at that
yeah.
time. So,
yeah, it feels like the past couple of years, people have been kind of dying for him to break out. And it felt like it wasn't going that way at first, but then now poor Zach Scott's just never going to hear the end of that trade. It is pretty funny because sometimes, obviously, being a Met fan and having a lot of Met fans on my page, you're like, doesn't anybody want to mention that the Dodgers traded away O'Neal Cruz and Yordan Alvarez for a couple of relievers, but we're getting bashed over here for trading away PCA for Javi Baez? And it's like, I mean, I guess that could be true, but I think it's more the fact that PCA is good in the field and at the plate
yeah.
and is carrying a team that's winning. So he's got it all
yeah.
going on.
And also, it's like, you know, Yordan Alvarez.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Perez is, they've won without him, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, yeah, the Dodgers don't really need those guys.
That's the biggest thing.
True.
Science would suggest that's the biggest thing. All right, hold on. Number three, I'm trying to think. Okay, go ahead. I know the three teams. Go ahead.
All right, so I got the Yankees in at 8-2 in the last 10. A plus 111 run differential, best in baseball. And then Aaron Judge has just been insane. 4.3 WAR, which I think is like at least one better than every other player in baseball. He's batting 398, 18 home runs, 47 RBIs. And then their bullpen's been pretty solid, and their pitching in general has been pretty solid. Outside of Tim Hill and Fernando Cruz, everybody in their entire rotation and bullpen is a sub-4 ERA. Their rotation's been pretty solid, and their bullpen's been pretty solid outside of Hill and Cruz, despite the fact that people seem to love Cruz over there.
We
I remember when he was facing the Mets.
The
so.
Best signing, free agent signing, and it could be like a small signing, it could be a big signing, but you could make the argument that Max Fried is the best free agent signing.
Yeah.
I mean, Bregman was treading that way till he got hurt.
I think Bregman's the second best WAR. He's like a 3-4 already. But yeah,
for what the Yankees desperately needed with Garrett Cole going down, Max Fried might be the guy.
Yeah. And then everybody else has kind of just been stepping up behind him. Obviously, I think it's like Will Warren, Clark Schmidt, Carlos Rodon. So they've had a couple of guys that have been dealing. So shout out to them.
All right. So number two, go ahead.
So number two, I have the Tigers, 6-4 in the last 10. They took series from the Giants and the Cardinals, both who were on this list, so they've been beating some pretty good competition. Tarik Skubal just absolutely rules. He threw that complete game. I think it was the first of his career. I wouldn't be shocked if he does that a lot more often because he's just got crazy good stuff. And then Javi Baez and Riley Green have been stepping up. In May, Javi Baez hitting 274, 5 home runs, 18 RBIs. Riley Green, 282, 6 home runs, 20 RBIs. They've both been stepping up for that offense. So it'll be interesting to see where they go because obviously there's like two different thought processes on the Tigers. There's one that's like it's just a matter of time before they kind of fall apart, and then there's one where it's like these guys might be the Yankees' best competition in that league, you know, going forward. So
yeah. It's amazing. You look at the standings. The poor Twins, man. They had that run. They continue to have that run. And they're okay. I think they're a wild card team right now. But you think a team that won as much as the Twins, a 13 in a row, and then you know they won. It's not like they've fallen off the cliff. They still are so far from catching the Tigers. They're at let's see right now. They're 5 back. They're 5 back of the Tigers. So, I mean, number one, that tells you how terrible the Twins started. It's kind of crazy that you know, they've been so good lately. they're six games over 500, but they're five back of the Tigers. Tigers been legit.
Yeah,
I'm waiting.
I think now that they got a full starting staff, I think that definitely helped them. Because last year, at least in the postseason, it felt like it was Scooble, and then they just played like five straight bullpen games, and maybe Boyd would be mixed in a little bit there. But yeah, so
you know what the weirdest team is maybe in baseball? Who do you think the weirdest team is?
I mean, the Orioles have been weird because they
seemingly
had all this talent.
No, I think like the weirdest team.
What? The Reds? I
don't know. The Angels.
Yeah, yeah.
The Angels have had like these epic losing streaks and the epic win streaks.
Yeah, Taylor Ward, if push came to shove right now and you were unsure who was on the market in terms of like the top names, I think he'd probably be the guy that would get the most back.
Oh, yeah. He's been raking. Yeah, I mean, he was the guy.
Crazy.
When teams were looking for the righty hitter against lefty pitching, like he was the guy.
Yeah.
So
it is kind of funny though, because I see, like, I remember we had that girl Swilly on as like the Angels fan, and it is kind of funny because
did she just
get their mindset.
A new job? Didn't congratulations.
Yeah, she
Swilly,
went. She went to John Boy, but it was funny because it's like instead of enjoying the winning and being like, you know, we could have a chance this year, she's already like, man, we got to trade Ward before his stock starts going down. Crappy mindset that you have to have, I guess, as a fan of them, because it's weird.
Yeah, but it was weird because they were in, you know, like they're still sort of in it. They definitely were in it up until they just had this losing streak because they had a huge winning streak.
Yeah.
That's a weird division. Like the A's, as soon as we had on Scott Hatterberg, they fell off the map. Sorry.
Yeah.
Apologies to the A's fans. So, we're the big winners, though. It was a great interview. all right, number one of the Phillies, which you refused to give respect to early in the year. And I said, how can you not give? Did you have them out of the? When I said that thing about you're not showing respect to them, you didn't even have them in the top 10, didn't you?
I'm pretty sure that was what it was. It was either that or they were like 9 or 10. Like it was a lot lower.
Number one now.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're just – it's crazy the machine that Dombrowski's built. Because I remember early in the year when the Mets swept them at Citi Field, I remember watching like clips of their postgame show, and they're like, we own us. This team's a joke. We need to get ready. We need to, you know, stop caring about this team because they continue to let us down. And then every year they just – get hot, and then it's just game over for.
Well,
and that division is going to be interesting.
Even when they weren't playing well, they had this insane starting pitching. They have a really good lineup. Yeah, you know, the bullpen was a little suspect, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is like, do not put this on your LinkedIn page when it comes to.
Holy it's like man. How many? It's like that meme where it's like, how many times do I got to teach you this lesson?
Right, exactly. You are totally. You were totally jaded by the fact they were the Phillies. If the Phillies were in the American League Central and not the same division as the Mets, they would have never fallen out of your top 10.
Yeah, I know. It's a crazy division because it feels like the Mets, Phillies, and Braves, they have like the staying power so that they could all be fighting for that division until the end of time. I don't know. It's bizarre.
You know what they're gonna do? As a punishment, they're going to put you in the visitor's bullpen and have everyone just yell at you.
I saw that video. There was a video of the coach trying to get the security to throw a guy out because Strider was getting freaking brutalized.
Yeah, it is crazy. I've said this. Like when I went out, you go out there, and I remember purposely going out there when the Arizona was playing after Merrill Kelly had said, like, the fans aren't that great.
Yeah.
And going out there, I was like, this is going to be nuts. And it is kind of crazy, like that it's a shoebox. It's literally you're putting these pitchers who are warming up in this place where you just have these fans just hovering right over you. There's not, other than a little flower bed, there's not a lot of room for as a buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, good job with everything. Excellent job.
Thank you. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.